Hey, welcome to the bonus material on Patreon. Thanks again for subscribing, and I really hope you enjoyed these questions with Hazel Monforton.
So, outside of here's the first question.
All right.
Outside of walking simulators or games like that, I know you're sort of we're both ambivalent about the term.
Yeah.
But you've talked about like Gone Home, and then you talked about Outlast, which is a survival horror game. Mm. Do you have any of a sort, do you have any genres that really like it's your wheelhouse? Like you love to play these video games. What's your favorite video game genre?
You know, thinking about my favorite games, they're all in very different genres. So I don't really think I have a favorite genre. Like, if you give me a world that is detailed enough and tells its own little stories through the environment, then I'll be super happy. Like, I love Bloodborne. I think that I never thought I would love a game like Bloodborne. It's the opposite of the games that I thought I loved, but I love it so much. It's great. It tells its story in such a subtle way. And you have to really look at things to kind of make connections, and you might not even be right, but who cares? It's amazing to think about. I love that. I really love Dishonored and Dishonored 2. Those are great. Just creating these little worlds to explore and these spaces that are so complex, and these little details that make the environment so rich. I love that. I really love, I love Dragon Age Inquisition for the same reasons, just a very rich world to explore and look at. And, you know, just these three games, they have completely different systems, completely different styles of gameplay. Totally different kind of aims for exploring narrative. But I love them. They're so good.
I can't disagree. All those games are fantastic. Yeah. And you're right. I mean, they're completely different genres in almost, because Bloodborne doesn't care about stealth, and Dishonored doesn't care about, it doesn't super care about grinding. I guess there's an element of grind in it, but not really. That's fantastic. Okay, well, here's a second question for you.
I'm just going to disagree with the premise of all your questions.
No, good. That's perfect.
Okay. I'm an academic after all.
Well, no, that's the best way to answer questions. We both know that.
Yeah.
So I won't ask you what game you would. Well, maybe I will. Okay. Since you're sort of invested in narratives and invested in the contours of storytelling in ways that none of my other guests thus far have been, because you're an academic and you study literature, and I know what that means. one of the rare few unfortunates that know what that means.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, well, it's okay. What's done is done. What kind of game would you want to create if you had the means? Don't worry about limitations or budget or ability or anything. If you had a magic power, what kind of narrative would you want to tell, or what kind of game would you want to make yourself?
Oh goodness. I haven't.
It's a tough one.
I haven't really thought about that. I don't know, because all I could do is point to other games that I think. I just rehashed the last question. Like I create a game like Bloodborne, but also like Dishonored, but also, a little bit of Portal 2 in there maybe, and some, I don't know, I don't know. I haven't tried to make a game or think about making games, on my own or anything. I don't know how to answer.
No, that's okay.
I would make the best game. Ever.
The best game ever. I mean, do you feel like I believe you. Do you think there are any stories out there that like haven't been told or could be told better through games? I guess that's another way of asking the question. Like any sort of narratives that would be
Okay, I'm going to change this question.
Do it.
What I think would be really interesting would be to take Virginia Woolf's To the Lighthouse and turn it into a game like Gone Home, where you're exploring a space. Yeah.
Oh, that would be really cool.
Yeah, see? I think people have a hard time engaging with Virginia Woolf for reasons I can't fathom because she's one of my favorite authors.
I actually also love Virginia Woolf.
Good, good.
Yeah. I'm not just saying that.
But I think because the part of that book is definitely the way that people inhabit a home and inhabit a family. And I think, and you know, you have that wonderful bit in Time Passes where the decaying of the house is supposed to mirror the kind of decaying of our, you know, our understanding of ourselves in the light of war. And among the million other things that you can read out of that wonderful, like, 15-page passage. Like,
that's gorgeous passage.
And so, I mean, it wouldn't be the same because there's no way you can translate Virginia Woolf's, like, amazing, you know, deftness in terms of you know, her turns of phrase and her techniques and her style into a game. But, oh, I'd try my absolute best.
I'd like that. That sounds fantastic.
To the Lighthouse, the video game. There you go.
To the Lighthouse, the video game. Well, you know, I never thought about it, but why aren't people doing that more? Why aren't people, like, investing their time in making, like, literature into games? That's not a bad idea. It's
kind of a cool adaptation. I remember hearing about someone who tried to turn Walden into a video game. But, like, that sounds super boring. So
I would not want to play that. I would, like,
I'm sure people would say To the Lighthouse as a video game would also be super boring. But,
well, I like your premise. I mean, I would probably do. I think I'd probably do. So I'm a big Gaddis fan. I'm a big William Gaddis fan. Mm-hmm. And I would do JR as, like, a I don't know if you've read JR.
I haven't, sorry.
Oh, it's really good. It's also really long. It's one of those sort of, like, postmodern, modern,
right?
You know, borderline. it's about this kid who basically, by being a kid and by being blithe and kind of, like, impulsive rather, amasses this huge fortune via the stock market. And the whole novel is just dialogue, but I would love to play, like, a resource manager as do JR as a resource manager. That would be, like, fantastic.
Oh, wow.
I would play that game a lot.
Yeah.
No, that's interesting. I've never, you're not going to believe this because it just sounds like I'm pandering, but I've never thought about, video games and literature in that way, like, actually as adaptation. That's really interesting.
How would you translate the wonderful moment where Mrs. Ramsay is not able to tell her husband that she loves him, but is able to say, oh, yes, you're probably right about the weather. And that's, like, the most profound. That's definitely her saying, I love you, in her own little way. Like, how would you...
Yeah, I mean, the closest I get, I did I don't know. Have you played Night in the Woods yet?
I have.
Yeah. So I talked with Scott Benson about it a while back, a few episodes back, and that was a blast. He's a fun dude to talk to. But I couldn't, of course, like, on some level, it maybe people seem to like the episode, but I felt bad because I didn't have a bad thing to say about Night in the Woods. So, like, I couldn't, like, you know, hold his feet to the fire or anything. It was a very easy interview for him. But the one thing I told him, I was like, I really loved the scene where I think it's where May is drunk coming home from the party and she's in the car with B. And she's trying to say, like, certain things. You could pick those dialogue choices.
I love that. Yeah.
And the actual thing that comes out is, like, a garbled mess.
Sorry,
like,
but it's
no
lapse in memory. Oh my God, B, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh,
yes,
God,
yeah.
That was great. Yeah, that is exactly how it feels to be drunk and trying to talk. Yeah.
Yep, exactly. So I wonder if there's some way you could do that with, like, you know, trying to pick a dialogue and then, like, having something else come out.
Yeah.
Like, that describing, I don't know, that's not quite the same tension, but it's close.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No,
you can do it. Don't give up on this dream. So let me ask one more thing and then I'll let you go. I've kept you long enough, but this has been really fun. So as a literary critic, what do you see as the main challenge in bringing games into, like, the conversation, like the academic conversation that we have now? What do you think is, like, the main thing limiting us from, you know, making just, like, having games be on the same canon as, say, Wolf or something like that?
I think I talked a little bit about this in my academic article, that we're still stuck thinking about games as weird films. And in the way that we used to think about films as weird books, and we sort of are very slowly, you know, in the same way that games are figuring out their own language for telling a narrative, academia is still figuring out its own kind of systems and theories to, and lenses through which to read games. It's taken a while, you know, it took a while to get film theory up and running. And yeah. I think it's going to take a while to get video game narrative theory up and running in the same way, that it's going to have kind of growing pains as it kind of emerges from a combination of film theory and literary theory to create a sort of, you know, shambling hybrid, and then eventually a set of critical tools with which to examine games. So I think basically, as anything, it's just being stuck in an old way of thinking and trying to read games as if they're weird films, which is a way to read them, but maybe not, doesn't really show games in their best light.
Yeah, it does give us a new vocabulary.
Yeah.
I like that answer. All right. This has been great. I really appreciate it. And thanks again for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely.